Welcome to Living Free Today, a ministry of Cornerstone Fellowship, San Lorenzo, California. Today's message is entitled, The Empty Tomb, from the books of John chapter 20, verses 1 through 10, Matthew chapter 28, verses 5 through 7, and the book of Psalms, chapter 16. This message was first preached on August 13, 2017. We hope you enjoyed this message by Dr. Michael Wilson.
Christ has finished his work on the cross. His blood has been spilt. Atonement has been paid. Redemption has been made. Adoption has occurred. All those who had died in the Old Testament, John the Baptist and other believers, Simeon and Anna who were in the temple, all those who had died prior to the cross are now saved in heaven in the presence of God Almighty. And on early Sunday morning, and it says, before the sun came up. And when we look at how Jews calculated time, remember that the Sabbath Saturday started Friday night. They had to get Jesus into the tomb before sundown. As soon as the sun went down, you're in Sabbath. You can't, and Passover Sabbath, so you can't do any work, can't do anything special. You have to do that thing. You have to do the holy thing. And that's all day Saturday. But then sundown on Saturday evening, the Passover is over. The holy day is over. They are now into what they would consider the work week. Back then, they only got one day off, and that was Saturday. But then Christ rising from the dead gave us another day off. That's why we have Saturday and Sunday for the Jews and the Christians. And so sometime between sundown and Sunday after midnight, when the sun came up, Jesus Christ was resurrected, rose from the dead. And during that time, Mary, and according to the other Gospels, other people, but Mary is the focus of this story, is the person who saw it. She sees the stone removed and that Jesus' body's not there. And she runs and tells. Now, when we consider the resurrection and we consider what Jesus is accomplishing and how Christianity spread, the empty tomb has been called the first best evidence of the resurrection. Starting with the empty tomb, because if Jesus would have just appeared in front of Pilate and said, "Ha ha, I rose from the dead, you didn't kill me," first thing Pilate would do would be send guards to the tomb and investigate the tomb, because that is where he was laid, that is where the dead are. And if any trickery was going to take place, it would take place at the tomb, and you would have to examine that if Jesus appeared somewhere else. And if we look at what John writes about the tomb, we will also see that what they saw in the tomb could not be faked. And so the empty tomb put a stake in the ground that Jesus Christ is out walking around. And then you come to what would be considered the next best evidence, and that is Jesus physically appearing in a locked room and showing himself, which is the absolute best evidence of the resurrection you can get. But early on, first thing in the morning, we have an empty tomb, and that is proving that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And every fake rumor, what we would call fake news that they put up back then, of the Romans being paid to lie about stealing the body and all that, we will look at how that couldn't have happened, how his body could not have been stolen, and how the empty tomb is a sign of resurrection. And so we start in John chapter 20, if you would turn with me. The first 10 verses of John 20 are the story of the empty tomb and what they saw. And chapter 20, verse 1 says, "Now on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark, before the sun had come over the hills, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. If you have not seen the movie Risen, I recommend you see the movie Risen. It is now out on DVD, may even be on Netflix, I don't know, but it is the story of one of the Roman guards who crucified Jesus and how he saw the empty tomb and later saw Jesus and how he came to, although the end of the movie is kind of vague, we all vote that he came to saving grace, knowledge of Jesus Christ, and his struggle with being a polytheist, being a non-Christian, actually seeing the resurrection. And in the movie Risen, the stone is not just rolled away, it's actually blown off the tomb and is sitting on the other side of the garden. And so when the angels are sitting on the stone, they're sitting way over there. The tomb's over here, but the angels are over there. And the Bible doesn't say where they are, and I think that's very dramatic. I think it's very good to not have it just gently roll away, but actually blown off the face of the tomb. So I recommend that movie. And it is biblically accurate, although out of order. But that's okay. It's a good movie. And so they were rushed, as we said before, on Friday. They used 75 pounds of spices, and they washed the body and wrapped the body and wrapped the body fairly tight. If you recall Lazarus was summoned out of the tomb, and the first thing Jesus said was, unwrap him. So the way that bodies were wrapped, the body itself, if it came back to life, could not get out of the wrapping. It was tight. It was sticky because of the spices they put on. And so they put him in there, and they roll this big stone. People have seen archaeological evidence of what these things look like. It was a 1 to 2 ton stone. It was a huge stone. It was to keep grave robbers out, but allow people 1 year from now to hoist the stone out of the way and get the bones out. So it wasn't a permanent thing, but it was really difficult for people to rob the graves if they were so inclined. The opening is only 3 feet tall of a tomb, and so Mary had to look in. And when Peter and John get there, they have to bend down and look in, and we don't know if it was lighter when they came, but there might have been more light. And so Mary runs and gets Simon at his house and John at his house and says that they've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've come. And then they run and they says that that John got there first. And some people have made all sorts of speculation about Peter being an old man or something. He can't run fast. I don't know. Maybe John was able to run faster. But John gets there first, and John peers in. And it says in verse 5 that he saw the linen clothes lying there. And when we look at the Bible, we say that the words that were used are inspired, and the words are important. And that if the grave clothes were piled in the corner, he would have said they were piled in the corner. If they were like strewn on the floor, he would have said strewn on the floor. So he used a word lying there, which means lying where they belong or lying where they have been. So he sees undisturbed grave clothes. Hold on to that for a minute. And then there's the face cloth in verse 7, which is not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up by itself. And so this is why these words are why this couldn't have been faked. It says that Nicodemus brought aloe and myrrh. Aloe in that day was a powder. They would take the aloe plant and they would dry it and actually grind it up into a powder. And myrrh was a sticky resin. And they would mix the two. making a really pasty, gooey, sticky, we might say, mess. And they would use that, and they would coat the cloths with it, the cloth strips. They would spoon it into the seams of the cloth strips. And basically, with 75 pounds, you can coat this covering quite well. Now, back in the day, when I was a child, we did these things called crafts. And because crafts were less boxed back then, you just made things out of what you had in your kitchen, we would make these things called paper mache. Now, paper mache is where you take newspaper strips and you dip them in a gooey, gluey mess, and then you drape them over a form. And then when they dry and they're hard, you can take the form out and you have a thing that you can paint or whatever. And we would make bowls. And the way you make a bowl is you blow up a balloon and you take these gooey, gluey paper strips and put them on half of the balloon. And then you let it sit overnight, and in the morning you pop the balloon and you have a bowl. And you can even do that today if you want. And of course, as an impatient guy, I thought, well, it's been an hour, that's good enough. And so I popped the balloon. And the bowl would kind of collapse on itself, not go totally flat, but just kind of collapse a bit. And if it hardened that way, you could say, well, there used to be something in there, but that thing got removed too early, and the shape of this thing, of this paper mache, got corrupted. And so 2,000 years ago, when they are taking gooey, gluey myrrh and running strips of cloth through it, they are in many ways creating what we would call paper mache. Now, heavy cloth that they would wrap a body in, of course, wouldn't fully absorb the goo like newspaper would. But they're making a form around the body and they're wrapping him tight. And if Jesus just sat up and tried to walk out, first of all, as a man, granted as God, he can do anything with the cloth he wants, but if he was trying to get out of it in his own human strength, there would be torn cloth, it would be everywhere, it would be laying on the floor, it would be different than is being described. What John saw is like they created a form around a balloon and then popped the balloon and it wasn't there anymore. And these things collapsed kind of flat, but they were exactly where they were when Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea wrapped Jesus. That is physically impossible to do if somebody stole the body. If somebody stole the body, first they would take the grave clothes with them. Why waste time unwrapping Jesus? There's Romans all around. If I'm going to steal the body, I'm going to steal the grave clothes. If the Romans stole the body, they would steal the grave clothes. If anybody did it, it would be impossible to get him out of the grave clothes and get them back into the form of a person on the bench, on the shelf. And so that makes stealing the body impossible. Also, in the book, what is the book? Born Again? It's one of Charles Colson's books. And he talks about how it took 8 days, 8 days, for the Watergate conspiracy to break and for everybody to call up their FBI buddies and say, I confess. And all they were doing was covering up a break-in in a hotel. He says, if educated, very rich people with everything to lose by going to jail can't keep the secret about a break-in for 8 days, how could disciples keep the secret of a stolen body for the next 30 years. Nobody found the body. Nobody cracked. Nobody went to the Romans and said, I'll sell it to you for $10,000. It wasn't there. It wasn't stolen. If the Romans stole it, they would have just produced it and said, ha ha, see, he wasn't raised from the dead. If Caiaphas and his gang stole it, they would have just produced it. So it's impossible to steal a body and leave the grave clothes there. And it doesn't make sense that anybody could have stole it and kept the secret for this long. If nothing else, after all the apostles died and one grandkid goes into the back closet and says, hey, what's this body? It would have broken. People would have told about it. And nobody has been able to produce any evidence that Jesus Christ stayed dead in 2,000 years, even though people have tried and tried and tried and tried. The empty tomb is the first best evidence because it shows that Jesus Christ wasn't there. So how did Jesus Christ get out of the grave clothes? The word that is used in all four Gospels is that he was resurrected. He was not raised from the dead in the tomb story. They didn't say he was raised from the dead. He wasn't resuscitated. If you look at Lazarus, Lazarus was actually resuscitated. He was brought back to this life. He was brought back. He went in sick, we assume. He died. And he came out healed, but the same body. And in a matter of time, we don't know how long, Lazarus actually died of old age. And he's now in heaven, but Lazarus died twice. Jesus Christ was resurrected. And when Paul talks about resurrection in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and John talks about it in Revelation. Resurrection, what you and I will get when we are resurrected is when a change occurs. When Christians who have passed on and Jesus Christ comes again, it says the dead in Christ will raise first. That is the first resurrection. And at that point, they will be raised to perfect, incorruptible bodies. Paul talks about going from corrupted to incorruptible, talks about going from sinful to righteous. We will get glorified bodies. We will still be human, but we will get bodies that will not age, and we will not die again like Lazarus did. And so when Jesus is resurrected, he is gaining his glorified body that he has now, that he will have for all eternity. While Jesus was on the earth, he had a human body like you and I that would feel pain, and he would get tired, and he would get hungry, and he would have to sleep, and it hurt, and he bled. All those things are replaced and fixed in the glorified body. He will no longer age. He will no longer get hungry, get tired, and hurt. And that happened in the tomb. And so when he got his glorified body, one of two things happened to leave the grave clothes that way. Some say that he vanished, that he just disappeared, and in the disappearing and reappearing in another part of Jerusalem, that's when he got his new body. Others say that he got his new body in the tomb, and he was able to just float through the grave clothes and float out of the tomb. We know from Matthew that he did not walk out of the tomb. Matthew 28:2 says, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. Jesus Christ was already gone. The reason the stone is removed is so that the disciples could look in. Jesus could have raised from the dead and never moved the stone, but it would have been difficult to prove because they go, it's his twin brother. You know, he's still in the tomb. But they removed the stone so that disciples could look in, not so Jesus could get out. Jesus was already out. Jesus got out because of his glorified body. And you say, well, where does it say that in Scripture? Well, The next day, or later that day, they're in a locked room. They're in the upper room, and the doors are padlocked. Nobody in, nobody out. The disciples are scared to death because they think the Romans stole the body, and they're going to arrest them and kill them too. And Jesus just appears. So if he can appear in a locked room, if he can walk through walls, if he can appear and disappear, if he can travel great distances as he does in the 40 days, that is what a glorified body can do. That is what you and I will be able to do when we get a glorified body, is that doors in heaven will not hold us back. Okay? We can go anywhere that we want to go because we will have the same glorified body that Jesus Christ has. And so if he can walk through walls, if he can teleport or appear in and out of a locked room, he can get out of the tomb without disturbing the grave clothes. And so Jesus Christ has been glorified. He has gotten out of the tomb. And all that God is doing with removing the stone and sending the angels is announcing that fact. Jesus Christ will then appear and show people who he is. And that's why in verse 8 it says, "Then the other disciple, John, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw all that stuff I said. He reasoned it out. He figured it out, and he believed." He's the first one to believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Now, the part about his the head cloth, or some places will say the head napkin, the way they wrapped bodies is they wrapped them from the feet up. They left the shoulder and the neck bare. We don't know why. That's just Jewish custom. And then a separate piece was wrapped around the head. And if there was an injury that would cause the jaw to flop open, they would actually wrap to keep the jaw closed, to give more dignity to the body. And so there is a separate piece of cloth. And John saw that you had the main body cloth and this separate cloth sitting separately, the proper distance apart. And he put two and two together and said he must have raised from the dead. God must have removed him from the grave clothes without disturbing them in some miraculous way, and he was resurrected from the dead. And as this is talked about, and when I say this is the first best evidence, this is truly all we need. It was great for Jesus to appear and teach and to show Thomas his hands and his side, and when John saw him in heaven, how he still had the injuries that for eternity he will hold the scars that saved you and I. And we can praise God for that, that he went through that for us for all eternity. But this is a sign, this is evidence of his resurrection from the dead. And when Jesus was talking with the Pharisees, they kept saying, "Give us a sign, give us a sign, give us a sign." And he said, "There will be no sign except the sign of Jonah." And the sign of Jonah is that Jonah was in the fish for 3 days. Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days. And Jonah left the fish and saved all of Nineveh. And Jesus left the tomb. And Christianity spread across the whole world, offering salvation to anybody who wants it. Everybody under Jonah's ministry seemed to believe, and we will see a whole raft of Ninevites in heaven from that missionary experience. And as Christianity spreads, there are great revivals, and when Peter is preaching about the resurrection, 3,000 are saved. So people are saved as the teaching of the resurrection spread throughout the world. Then John concludes in verse 9 for saying, "As yet they," apparently everybody but John, "did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead." And if you look a chapter earlier, John is saying They didn't seem to realize that Scripture was saying that Jesus had to die on the cross. And so John is saying that there's a progression in their understanding, that over time, they didn't really understand it when it was happening, but especially at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes, we are told that He brought all those things to remembrance, all the pieces of the puzzle came together, and all of the disciples, all 120 of them, was able to realize all the prophecies and how they applied to Jesus. And so the body wasn't stolen. Jesus didn't wake up. This was a miraculous event in which He was resurrected and God pulled Him out of the tomb without disturbing anything. Everything was just as it was, like a museum piece, if you will, that they could have taken a picture of Him in the tomb, and with Him not in the tomb, things would have been exactly the same. And this should have been, or this could be, this was enough to get people to believe in Jesus Christ, this greatest of all miracles, the miracle on the cross of getting people saved and Him being our atonement. It's kind of invisible to us. We did not see the transaction between Jesus and our sin and God's wrath, but this is something we can see, that we can get our teeth into, that it is a real thing that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. But yet there are those today who will look at this story and say, that's great, but I want a sign. I want Jesus to give me something. And I have known many who have either left church, some have left the faith, because they prayed for something and God was probably saying, this is a good enough sign. This is a good enough miracle, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Get into that. Get that into your life. That He is the first fruit, that as Jesus rose from the dead, so we shall rise from the dead, which is why on the Left Behind series, everybody leaves all their clothes behind. Because the image from Scripture is that when we are raptured, when we are resurrected, we take nothing from this world except ourselves. And I think that's an accurate picture, is that we do leave everything behind. Whatever we're holding, whatever we're wearing will be a pile on the ground, and we just vanish out of them. We just pass through them as Jesus passed through the grave clothes. And this is our sign. This is our proof. If you want evidence that Christianity is true, it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The cross saved. The resurrection proved it. The resurrection was God saying, I accept it. The account is closed. We are done. We can now move on with saving the world because the cross and the work of the cross is done. That is what the resurrection means, that Jesus Christ's sacrifice was accepted. And as I said, and everybody has said, He is now at the right hand of God the Father, and He will come again. And He will come again with the same body He had when He left the tomb after the resurrection, His glorified body. And when He comes again, He's going to be on a white horse, and the book of Revelation seems to indicate that He's going to be really mad. Here He's loving the disciples. He's spreading the gospel. And between then and the second coming is the time for salvation, is the time for us to share the resurrection, to read the resurrection, to believe the resurrection, and become saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. No other sign is necessary for us to believe except the sign of Jonah, which Jesus Christ fulfilled, raising from the dead, being resurrected, walking out of the tomb, flying out of the tomb. We don't know how it happened, but He got out of those grave clothes like a papier-mâché shell, just leaving them there to collapse under their own weight, and He lives today. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we just praise You for the resurrection. And we can look at this story and say, yes, that is going to happen to me. That if I pass on before You come, I too will be resurrected to a new body, a glorious body, a body that will not deteriorate, will not age, will not hurt. And Lord, we just praise you for that. And ask your blessing upon all those who believe and upon this day before us, we ask this through the blood of Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Living Free Today. This has been a ministry of Cornerstone Fellowship located at 180 Llewellyn Boulevard, San Lorenzo, California, 94580. Email us for more information at info@livingfreetoday.org. Our website is www.livingfreetoday.org. Our telephone number is 510-278-2622. If you're looking for a church, come visit us on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. for Bible study and at 10:45 Sunday morning. God bless you as you live daily in His presence. This has been Deacon Luis Ramazzini, Living Free Today.